Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday morning to you. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. The gang's all here, and for the next 3 hours, we're going to talk sports and other things. Cody, how you feeling this morning? We got our warrior scream in, so you have no excuse not to be sharp at the beginning of this show.
Davey just looked into the door like, what the hell just happened?
He was juiced, holding
his chest.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What's going on? Well, when you scream at the top of your lungs right before going on the air, I think it kind of alarms some of the other people around the station.
Sure.
They look in here, they're like, my goodness, Talk Sports is doing some big things.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, I'm doing well. Feeling juiced, feeling good. Good to be here, good to be anywhere. John, how are you?
It's going to be a great show.
I agree. I think so. I think we're both feeling good today. We both got the right amount of energy. The juices are flowing. Ben Lee is back, looking beautiful as ever in his plaid. What do they call those? Flannel.
Flannel.
Right? Yeah, looking good.
Slow. You haven't done laundry much the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's laundry day. Okay. It's laundry day.
You could have asked me. I'd have brought you a T-shirt because it's like 90 degrees outside, and you're wearing a long sleeve flannel shirt.
It gets hot in the studio too.
Are we gonna have some s'mores soon too?
Next time you're a little behind on laundry, just let me know. I'll bring you a T-shirt.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
I can turn Andrew
to the apartment if I need to now to get you a shirt because you're gonna be sweating pretty soon.
I'm getting in the feel for fall.
Yeah.
Football's right around the corner.
It is upon us, so that's good. So how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm good. Living life.
Any developments in your life the last 24 hours?
Today started off a little rough. Whenever I went outside to get in the car, I dropped my Coke, and it got shook up, and it got flat, but I powered through. I was worried, like, oh, no, could this define my Friday morning? But I have decided not to let it. I'm going to power through it.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to power through, overcome, make Friday good. Make Friday productive. Drop in a little soda. Getting your soda shook up. It's not going to stop me today. Not to brag, but I'm tougher than that. Yeah. It will not define me.
Don't get your soda shook up.
It's already shook up, but don't let it shake up your Friday.
As in your feelings, as an analogy to your feelings.
Precisely, because if you get shook up on a Friday, your whole weekend shook up.
Exactly.
Ain't shaking me up.
Well, I think you may be in luck anyway.
Oh, yeah?
Guess who put 2 ice-cold Coca-Colas in the refrigerator yesterday?
Cody.
I did. If you go back in the mini fridge back there, we got 2 ice cold Coca-Colas.
What a guy.
Unless somebody has had one in the last 24 hours.
I don't want to nitpick, but to be ice cold, there has to be ice involved, and there is no ice in the fridge.
They're free. They're cold. They're in the fridge if you'd like one.
I don't want to nitpick, but, I mean, technically, to be ice cold, there needs to be ice involved.
That's a fair point. They're not ice cold. I misspoke, but they are cold.
Okay.
They are cold.
Okay.
That fridge back there gets things pretty cold.
It's a good fridge.
That's one of the better mini fridges I've ever seen.
It's a good fridge. It's a good fridge, and, for a while, we didn't have it. You know, you got to come on once we had the fridge.
I can't. When I got here, it was all luxuries. We had a Keurig, a fridge. I didn't know about the Keurig for, you know, a couple months, but it was back there when I was here.
You didn't get. You didn't come in when the station was under some hard times. You've only gotten to see the meteoric rise. We didn't used to have the fridge. The fridge was right before you got here.
Yeah, when I got here, that's true. We've done nothing but grow. We've done nothing but grow. We could probably afford another fridge at this point.
Well, I mean, let's not get carried away. We got other renovations and upgrades we're making. The new fridge is pretty low on the list of things we need.
Maybe even a full-size fridge, honestly. Well, I just interrupted myself with that. It's like it's got a mind of its own. The SEC Media Days poll has just been released, John, and you probably were about to ask me for a story of the day. Well, here it is. Tennessee, pick to finish?
All right, let me guess. That's a really weak drum roll. I'm going to say Tennessee is picked to finish fifth. Surely fifth, right? I mean, you can make the case.
Not fifth. Not fifth.
Fourth?
Could it be fourth? No, it's not fourth either.
There's no way we're picked to finish third. I mean, Muschamp.
No, sixth.
Sixth.
Picked to finish sixth in the East. Oh. Ahead of, however, Vanderbilt. Kentucky picked fifth. Missouri fourth.
We set the Toyota Knoxville over-under at what, 4.5? Should have made it 5.5. We still would have been under.
Well, at least we know where Tennessee's picked now by the media. I was going to come in today with some British Open leaderboard updates.
Give me the British Open leaderboard updates, and we'll get to the Tennessee Media Day stuff to kick off the next segment. Give me some leaderboard stuff. Don't let the breaking news derail where you wanted to go for story of the day.
Well, story of the day is definitely the British Open. If you look at the way these greens are rolling over in Scotland or Britain, things are looking really well right now for a couple of guys. Zach Johnson, Kevin Kisner, we talked about him yesterday. They're both tied for first now, and Zach Johnson is through 18 holes. So he's 6 under. Kisner also 6 under. He's through 8 holes. Tommy Fleetwood sitting in third at 5 under. He's the only guy 5 under. He has finished his round. And then you get into a couple of guys you've heard of, maybe Rory McIlroy.
Oh, a little Rory action.
A little Rory.
Does he go by lion? Does he have like a lion logo or anything?
Rory.
He should implement a lion.
Rory.
He should put a lion in his logo.
Yeah, he's tied for fourth. He's 4 under through 18, along with Eric Van Ruyen, Tony Finau, and Xander Lombard. Xander Lombard. Then you got Kevin Chappell, Brandon Stone, Soong King, Pat Perez. And these other guys don't really matter. Danny Willett down at 12. Didn't he win a Masters one time?
Danny Willett sounds familiar.
I believe he won a green jacket at some point. Webb Simpson.
Okay.
I mean, you got to go on down, though. So the guys who matter. I know
Dustin Johnson had a bad day.
Yeah, we're looking at guys down here tied for 16th right now. Ricky Fowler tied for 16th. He's 1 under.
Tiger, did he finish 2 under yesterday? Where did he finish? He was even last I saw. What did Tiger do yesterday? Do we know? Finished even, so he's even again. Is his round over yet, Intern Andrew?
He's through 16.
Through 16, where's he currently at?
Tied for 30th.
At what number?
Even. You mean for the what do you mean? For the whole thing? He's even. Tied for 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Poor Dustin Johnson.
What happened to him?
Missed the cut.
Oh.
All right, got a little Rory action. I can go for some Rory on the weekend. I would appreciate if he had another star he's competing with, though.
Didn't you have Justin Rose in your pool?
Yeah, where's he at?
Tied for 42nd.
Yeah, he was my tier one pick. Although to not be too hard on myself, it was either going to be Justin Rose or Dustin Johnson, so at least made the right pick there.
Yeah, Rose, Spieth, Mickelson, they're all plus one today.
Okay. Yeah, it was either that. I was going to pick Dustin Johnson instead of Rose, so at least I made the right decision because Rose is sticking around for the cut.
Should have picked Zach Johnson or Kevin Kisner.
If I get one more text from Bear during the show claiming us ripping off something from the recycled drive, if I get one more text of him trying to lay claim to a leaderboard update.
As if 1,000 other radio shows around the country don't have
the
leaderboard.
The only thing that the drive has been original at is for all of 2017's offseason and for a month of the football season telling you Butch Jones was good. Do you remember the whole BJDS syndrome thing? That's the only thing that Bear Russell has been original at, is defending Butch Jones.
Not going to lie, I'm getting kind of tired of these old dudes.
I am too. Not going to lie.
You're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to stand up for Bear for a long time. We've been good friends. But after yesterday.
Nonstop. Just nonstop, nonstop, nonstop.
After yesterday and what I heard yesterday afternoon, just being attacked, viciously attacked out of nowhere by Russell and his asparagus-looking self.
How that happens. A slow news day on the drive. If there's no Tennessee talk, the last hour they'll just try to tee off on everyone on the station.
Yeah, I don't.
That's how they'll try to fill their content, is by taking shots at us, because you know if there's nobody got arrested for the docket and there's no Tennessee talk, well, if the phone lines aren't there, they're out of stuff to talk about. Like if they can't rely on the callers to carry them, and if nobody got arrested and Tennessee's not doing anything, time to attack Talk Sports. Time to pick on Houston or Davey. Tell them Davey stole his stuff. That's what the drive goes to.
I used to enjoy the drive. I used to tune in.
All last offseason, they Butch Jones derangement syndrome. He's not that bad. You guys should be a little bit easier on him. You got John just being a loud mouth talking about Butch Jones. I mean, what's he done? He's won 8 games. That's all the drive told you last offseason. That's the only thing they've had original the last year. Ripping off their leaderboard update. Riveting segment. Let's read the leaderboard, which I know that's what we did. And it was a little boring, Cody. So you know what? It probably was the drive's idea. Let's come back. We'll talk about Tennessee being picked to finish 6th in the East. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. You know, this I just had a revelation. And, you know, I'm gearing up for Voluntary Reaction, by the way. It's coming back. Locked down a sponsor for it last night. Excited to have them on board. Got some people wanting to come on board and represent their business on Voluntary Reaction. But I got to thinking, like, last year it was me, Russell, and Brandon. This is when Brandon was on overtime. There's been talks now of Bear trying to replace Brandon. And at first, I was like, you know what, that's okay. I'll ride with that idea. But now I've realized I'll be completely outnumbered 2-1. We'll have the two old guys on the drive, and then me. And let's face it, we know who the star of Voluntary Reaction is. There's only a few instances where anybody under the age of 40 has listened to the drive, and I would like to think that I'm a big part of the, you know, introducing those people to the drive. But I don't know if I can allow. I'm going to have to go outside of both Bear and Brandon and find a producer. We cannot be outnumbered and outrepresented on the best post-game talk show in Tennessee, really the South. Now, Ben Lee, I know you're holding your hands up, but
you have the best producer at the station in-house.
We would run into that same problem of us outnumbering them.
I wouldn't mess with Russell. And I know Bear doesn't understand any of this stuff over here.
And then, I mean, we're doing some renovations. There's going to be some videos soon. We're going to have to be toggling cameras. I don't know. I don't even understand it.
That's too much.
I'm now going to have to go out and
I'm going to have to try to find maybe an unbiased producer because I can't be outnumbered. And I love Brandon. Brandon was great last year. Brandon's been talking maybe about joining up with Cody for the pregame show.
Yeah, I got a pregame show to do, so I can't help you.
No, I mean, you'll be doing the pregame show. Brandon's been talking about helping you there.
I still need a co-host for the pregame show, by the way. Taking applications.
And I will say that Brandon hasn't had the stink put on him yet of the drive. He's still unbiased and would still probably be loyal. But today's transgressions, I think I'm going to have to tell Bear he's out of the running for voluntary reaction. I've finally realized I can't risk being outnumbered there.
The last couple days have been vicious. It's just been, I don't know.
One thing after another.
I don't know. Bear's always been an ally for me. I didn't mean to go after Bear, really. He's always been an ally for me. But at the end of the day, Bear's a good friend. And I love you, Bear. I do. But at the end of the day, my allegiance does lie with Talk Sports.
It sounds like you're kind of going soft, Cody.
Yeah.
No, I'll go at Russell. Russell's the one who came at me yesterday. Bear kind of stood up for me. But at the end of the day, if we're going to have a rivalry, me and Bear can't really be buddies if it comes down to what it's going to come down to.
I go by the 50 Cent model of beefing, okay? There's no rotting in the middle. Either you're with us, are you in the Talk Sports camp, Cody, or not?
Yes.
Okay.
But sometimes
you got beef with whoever I got beef with.
Right.
Fat Joe, Nas, Jada, because it's all them over there.
That I know.
Isn't exactly how it worked out when I started beefing with Bear.
I felt you were a little aggressive in your beef, a little personal in your beef.
Yours felt a little misguided.
As now he attacks our entire show.
Okay, look, here's the deal.
Blocks me on Twitter.
Here's the deal.
He is sending a lot of profanity our way right now.
Here's the deal.
Hashtag unblock Ben Lee.
Ben Lee, I don't want to, I didn't want to have to say this, but in our show, I'm 50 Cent, okay? You're Tony Yayo at best, okay? So, like, Tony Yayo's not calling the shots.
I understand that, but I figure if we have to ride or die with you, you ought to have to ride or die with us.
No, as I just explained, of our show, I'm the 50 Cent, okay? I pick which beast we get into, okay?
I don't know how any of this works.
Tony Yayo wasn't spouting off at the mouth getting beef started, and then everyone else had to get into it. No, with all due respect, Tennessee picked to finish sixth in the SEC East. Logically, are you surprised?
No, because Kentucky, they have stability right now, which is as weird as that sounds with Kentucky. I mean, they are coming off. They've consistently been decent. They're not good, but as far as what's proven, it's more than what Tennessee's got right now. So Kentucky, the way Stoops was recruited, they've won, seven or eight games the last couple years.
The way Stoops is recruited?
I mean, for
what the hell is Stoops recruited?
For Kentucky, they have consistency is all I'm saying. I mean, they've won seven or eight games the last 2 years. Yeah, they've been 7-6 the last 2 years. Not good, but more consistent, more proven than what we have right now. That's not to say you shouldn't come in and beat Kentucky if you're a good coach.
I mean, like, what are we saying? What are we saying with these preseason ballots? What are we saying with this voting?
They've beaten South Carolina 4 years in a row.
Like, have they really?
Yeah.
God, that's embarrassing.
Imagine losing
to Kentucky 4 years in a row.
Yeah, really. It's like they're kryptonite.
What's Vanderbilt's losing streak to Kentucky? Do they?
I'll get that for you.
I would imagine it can't be much longer than four games.
I think Vanderbilt's probably beaten them in the last 4 years.
That's what I mean. If I'm guessing, I would say they had.
Looking over the Wikipedia right now, looking at the Vanderbilt-Kentucky series
last four years. 44 and 42?
Yeah, Kentucky's won three of the last four. Vanderbilt beat them in 2015 in Nashville. So Kentucky's handled them the last couple years. But yeah, that's a pretty close series. The old Kentucky-Vanderbilt rivalry.
Hotly contested. Which, by the way, if you're hotly contested with Vanderbilt, I don't feel comfortable picking Kentucky to finish ahead of Tennessee. Look, last season was awful. You went 4-8. I don't think you were a four-win team. Is that fair to say? Because it sounds kind of dumb to say because you are what your record says you are, I guess. But, like, it wasn't like Tennessee was just coming out here not competing.
No, I mean, you fell apart. You fell apart. Like,
I mean, it was a season from hell. Your quarterback play was bad. Your coaching situation was in shambles.
Well, look, there was a certain point in the season where you were still in it. Like, your roster, those guys were still playing hard. Eventually, it fell apart. Eventually, the bottom fell out for Butch because they were within 1 point of beating a decent South Carolina team. You know what I mean? And if they had won that game, maybe things change.
I mean, you had a final goal line stand.
Not 1 point. It was 15-9. I was thinking it was 16-15. I was thinking of when Spurrier came in here in year one and beat us.
Yeah. Well, you were one possession. You were down at the goal line. I mean, you weren't a field goal away, but you were a touchdown away. And you had four shots at it. And if Butch Jones wasn't an idiot, you probably win that game.
Yeah, so, like, you're close against Florida and South Carolina early when you care.
I mean, Kentucky, you gave up a touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter, right? Like, didn't Kentucky score on their last possession to win that game at Kentucky?
Right, so it's fair to say they were still in it. You know, our players were still playing hard in that game.
I mean, yeah, they're somewhat trying to save Butch's job. I mean, we catch a Hail Mary and you know, end up 3 yards short. Now, sure, Missouri beat your ass, but you had Will McBride making a start on the road, and by then your defense was gashed.
Well, that was really the turning point, right? I mean,
Missouri's when it got ugly. Like, Missouri was when you knew it was over, and it, quite frankly, it was over. But that was when the team looked like it had quit, and I do think that's why you made the change. Like, you saw the firing happen right after that.
Yeah, and then, you know, LSU and Vanderbilt, like, you had no business really even playing in those games.
LSU wasn't that game close at halftime? I mean, I know that, you know, it ended up being, what, like 30-10?
Big rainstorm, too.
Huge rainstorm. But, I mean, like, the first half you came out, you had a little bit of something.
Yeah, I guess Ed Orgeron, like, that's that should tell you.
Right. And then, of course, at home against Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt really just pounded you.
Yeah,
you couldn't stop Vanderbilt's offense.
At that point in the season, though.
Right.
That Vanderbilt game, it doesn't matter. That's the only time Vanderbilt ever beats Tennessee is when it doesn't matter anymore. Tennessee's left discouraged.
I mean,
2016.
There wasn't that one whole thing with the Sugar Bowl on the line.
In 2016, yeah. But usually when Vanderbilt beats Tennessee, it's when it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If Vanderbilt doesn't beat Tennessee in a good year, like if Tennessee, 07, 06, 07, whatever, Tennessee's back-to-back good years.
Yeah, sure.
Under Fulmer. They don't lose to Vanderbilt unless things are just really bad.
If you want to join the McKinney team hotline and give us your thoughts, 865-546-8200. This is one of the rare opportunities where I'm actually okay with hearing phone calls here. Like, this is your chance. If you want to be a caller, I'm not saying we need you. I'm not saying I even really necessarily want you, but I'm okay with it. If you want to give your thoughts, join the McKinney team hotline, 865-546-8200. Travis and Emily have one simple motto. They have one simple goal, one simple philosophy when it comes to handling, buying, and selling your home. You know what that motto is, Cody? Have you learned it yet? Have I beaten it into your head enough? The clients come first.
Okay. Well, that one's pretty easy to remember.
The clients come first. It's easy to remember. It's simple, but it's effective.
The clients come first.
That's right. You can like their Facebook page by searching Travis and Emily McKinney. And you can also visit their website. It's easy to remember. ZillowKnoxville.com. ZillowKnoxville.com. That's their website. You can see their listings, and you can learn more about Travis and Emily and their team with Keller Williams. That number is 865-546-8200. Let's catch a break. Come back on the other side as Talk Sports right here on Fan Run Radio.
The McKinney team with Keller.
Live from the deepest, darkest pit of AM radio, this is Fox Sports Knoxville, the station that just doesn't give a shit. Fan Run Radio.
Back on the program. All right, so Tennessee's picked to finish sixth in the SEC East. As Mr. Bojangles tweets in, his reaction is that he is setting the over-under at how many times this gets compared to the basketball team being picked 13th at 999,999. Can we get to the millionth time of this being compared to the basketball team being picked to finish 13th and then winning the whole thing?
That'll probably be a good comparison.
I've already seen it a couple times.
Yeah, Josh tweets in 2012, Auburn was 3-9, picked 5th in the West. They won the SEC and played for a national title. Kind of a similar approach there, keeping it optimistic. The media doesn't always know what they're talking about.
I don't even know if that was the media with Auburn. That was just, well, they were awful like Tennessee was the year before. And well, had talent, just underachieved. That was the last year of Chizik. It just all went to hell.
Sort of a similar situation, though.
Captain Touchback tweets in that there's no need to try to put a positive spin on 2017. It was a disgusting embarrassment. Be glad Vols are not regarded or respected. Let's shock the world, but in a good way this time. I hope that it did not sound like I was trying to spin 2017 into a positive, because I did call it a season from hell.
You know, if you had just given Butch a sixth year, maybe things could have turned around.
Yeah, we got caught up in our BJDS. We had Butch Jones derangement syndrome.
Can't imagine.
I hope I wasn't sounding like I was trying to spin that into a positive, because it was a season from hell. But what I was trying to say is, do we feel like we are devoid of talent? Like, seriously, like, if we are, maybe I'm wrong on this, and maybe we are just completely devoid of talent. But, you know, Butch Jones' first year of 2013, you could see this team didn't have the horses. This team didn't have an offensive line set up for the future. Now, granted, the 2013 team did have an offensive line, but their problem was they had no speed, right? And then 2014, you didn't have an offensive line, but you had some speed. What I'm saying here is it does seem like recruiting was a little bit better and more consistent. And look, I know you had the attrition. I know you had the transfers. I know you have some players that didn't bust out, but you do have at least some more talent on the field, right? Do we agree with that? Like, who are your stars in 2013? Who are your returning guys?
Justin Worley.
Was he even returning? It was his first year being a starter, right? I mean, I know you say that facetiously, but he was a 2013 was the first year he was actually getting to play, right? I mean, outside of burning his red shirt.
Well, yeah, because Bray was – yeah, I mean, he played in 2011.
Right, but I'm saying, like, 2013, who are your returning guys on that team outside of your offensive line?
Yeah, I was going to say the O-line.
Because they were good, and, like, yeah, you had Juwan James, first-round pick, and Tiny Richardson was a first-round talent.
Rajon Neal.
Rajon Neal. Was Marlon Lane there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the receivers.
I guess. I don't even remember who played defense.
Marquez North? You had Marquez North. Although, was he a
– No, I thought that was his freshman season.
Was he a freshman that year?
Yeah,
okay.
Because Butch brought him in partial class.
Right, so you had a talented freshman in Marquez North.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I can think of offensively.
I mean, I don't think there was anybody we're missing. Like,
I mean, defensively, I don't even remember.
No. I was trying to think. Like, Brendan Downs is the tight end, the volleyball player.
I think, you know, the exercise is proving my point of, like, you know, you didn't feel like you had very much returning. Like, maybe I'm wrong, and sure, like I said, the offensive line was good. On defense, though, I don't remember really having any definitely not any blue chippers. I remember Jacquez Smith had
Dan McCullers.
Did you feel good about Big Dan going into the season?
No. No.
He was tall.
And fat.
Yep.
I guess you had A.J. Johnson on defense.
Yeah, A.J., Kurt, and
I mean, I just don't know that we're all that far in terms of.
You don't think we're further ahead going into 2018 than we were 2013?
Just purely based on the roster. Maybe we're a little ahead, but I don't think it's because, I mean, who do we have now that was. Like, I like Nigel Warrior, great defensive player. Trey Smith, one of the best O-linemen in the country.
Just named two first-team All-SEC, by the way.
Sure, and Jawan Jennings coming back. But outside of that, I mean, when you really go through the depth of it, who do we have that makes you feel all that much better than 2013?
Callaway makes you feel good.
Okay, Callaway.
I feel good about Ty Chandler.
So you feel pretty good at receiver.
Saw flashes from him.
I mean, I feel good about
running back.
But you don't feel any better about Ty Chandler than you did Rajon Neal.
I feel way better about Ty Chandler than I did Rajon Neal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's recency bias, but I don't remember ever thinking, you know, Rajon Neal was great now or explosive. And look, he was solid. He was.
He ran like a 4.6 at the 4.5 or 4.6 at the combine, and everybody was like stoked.
Okay, maybe you were fine with Rajon Neal, but like Marlon Lane, you didn't feel good about.
No,
like at least here, you feel like you might have a couple of running backs with, you know, Madre London coming in. But like, start at the most important position, quarterback. Do you not feel a little bit more optimistic about quarterback in 2018 than you did in 2013?
To be honest with you, not a whole lot.
Really?
I mean,
because I looked at going in with Justin Worley as a death sentence.
I looked at it as a death sentence, for one, because he couldn't move, and that offensive line, as good at run blockers as they were, they couldn't protect
him. Well, not only that, but we were also running a spread option.
Right. Yeah.
A read option with Justin Worley. Sure.
I'm hopeful that Pruitt and Tyson Helton, I mean, I'm hopeful that things are going to be more efficient.
I don't even really want to talk about the coaches, although, like, you do have a staff with SEC ability and big-time ability, you know, with or at least you hope so.
Well, and you're going back to some version of a pro-style offense, which I do think will suit the quarterbacks on this roster. But if you're just asking me purely talent-based alone, I don't really know that I trust Keller Christ and Garantano any more than I did Justin Worley.
I mean, just look at this defensive line. Jock Smith, Jordan Williams, Dan McCullers, Mo Couch.
Mo Couch was they're pretty decent players there.
Daniel Hood, Marlon Walls.
Mo Couch's an NFL player, right?
Where?
Didn't he go to the NFL?
Is he?
He may not be an NFL player now, but I believe he went to the NFL.
I mean, to get like a camp invite? Because getting a camp invite is a little bit different than being an NFL player. He might be an NFL player. That caught me by surprise. Like, the only NFL player I'm looking at here is Dan McCullers there to eat space.
He went to the Steelers, right?
Yeah, he's there in a 3-4 to eat space.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody different.
Your tight ends on offense, Brendan Downs, Joseph Ayers, Woody Quinn. Again, you had a good offensive line. You want to see your starting wide receivers on the preseason depth chart?
Tell me about them.
Cody Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Pick Howard. Jason Kroom. Your quarterback, Justin Worley. Like, your running back, Rajon Neal. Like, you don't look at that as being in a better situation. Couch. I mean, I know we're not crazy about our linebackers in this situation. You know, coming into this year, I know we're not crazy about our linebackers.
Couch went to the Dallas Cowboys, by the way.
Has he played at all?
I don't think he ever.
Was it like a camp invite? Or was it like a regular season contract?
He went on a free agent contract.
Okay.
I don't think he ever played.
Dontavious Sapp, A.J. Johnson, Brent Brewer. Your defensive backs, Justin Coleman, Jaron Toney, Brian Randolph, LaDarryl McNeil, Jones.
A.J. Johnson, Brian Randolph, and Justin Coleman, pretty good football players.
I love Brian Randolph. We had a lot of classes together. I don't think he was a good football player. Like,
I think Brian Randolph
still with the Rams,
was pretty decent.
Excuse me. I confused Brian Randolph with Brent Brewer there. Sorry.
Yeah. And going back,
Brian Randolph was a solid defensive back.
I mean, I don't think that roster was completely void of talent.
I think it was really hurting for talent. Now, again, like I said, you did have the offensive line, and as Cody pointed out, good at run blocking. You know, but we do remember what happened to them in the swamp, 2013.
Now, they couldn't pass block, that's for damn sure.
I don't look at this 2018 roster being like that. Now, maybe it proves out to be, and maybe we suck again, and I will come on here, and I will say, yeah, I didn't think it'd be that bad.
After reading off those names on the defensive line, I think I feel better about our guys up front.
Yeah.
If you got like Shy Tuttle.
You feel pretty good about what you have on the defensive line in 2018 when I read you Dan McCullers, Jock Smith. Who else did I read?
Jordan Williams.
Daniel Hood, Marlon Walls. Like, no, I don't mean to disrespect, you know, those guys, but you feel better in 2018.
I don't know that I feel that much better.
Then why the hell did you like Butch Jones for so long? If you don't think he left the cupboard with more.
Why did I like Butch Jones? Are you accusing me of being on the drive?
I mean, 2017 before the
season. I never liked Butch Jones in 2017.
You wouldn't take 25 coaches over him.
Don't try to lump me in on your Butch Jones tirade.
Who are you making the change for? I mean, sure, 10, 15 guys, but would you really take, you know, this guy over
him? I said, yeah. No, I know I said that.
Okay, well, then I'm asking, like.
That's not pro Butch Jones.
But I'm saying, like. We were defending him for a reason, and when I say we, I mean the fan base, because you thought that at the very least he was recruiting well. So, like, did he recruit well or not? Like, is there
talent
on his roster
or not? You're looking at his 2013 roster. That was his first year.
No, I'm talking about what's left on the table now in 2018. I know this isn't his roster in 2013.
I'm not sure what you're trying to.
I'm asking if he left the cupboard. I'm asking if he left the roster in 2018, the first year he's gone.
Did he leave it better than Derek Dooley did?
Sure, like roster wise.
I don't think he did all that much.
Man,
I don't think he did.
This roster, when you look at 2013, man, it just looks so bad. Again, outside of the offensive line, you had some studs there. Ugh, man.
I mean, I just don't really get what we're looking at with this current roster and saying that it's significantly better.
I'm saying that I don't feel like this is as dire of a situation. I do feel like this roster does have some playmakers on it.
Maybe not as dire, but I don't think there's a big difference.
I mean, I think there's going to be speed on the team. I think you have something in the trenches. I don't know what, but I think Trey Smith's better than what you had on the offensive line. I mean, Juwan James was good, but Trey Smith is better.
Yeah,
again,
for where they're at in their college careers.
The defensive line that, you know, you at least have some bodies that you feel okay about. Like, I'm not ready to give up on Kyle Phillips. Like, I'll be honest, whenever Jeremy Pruitt was doing his talk, I guess his presser at Media Days, and he was opening his comments, he's talking about Kyle Phillips going from 260 to 275, I'll admit, perked up a little bit. Start feeling some blood rush into certain places.
I certainly feel better about this year's group of wide receivers and tight ends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would hope that you feel better about this
group of receivers.
We couldn't
even name one wide receiver.
Compared to Cody Blanc, Jason Kroom, and Pig Howard. I would hope at least we have that going for us. And tight ends, like Brandon Downs. And
yeah, so I'll give you that. Running back.
We could call running back a wash if you want to. I mean,
running back pretty comparable.
I mean, if you want, I mean, I'm not going to argue on that. I feel fine about Todd Chandler and Madre London, but Rajon Neal, probably people were thinking he was a good back too. So I won't argue on that one. We'll call that one a tie.
Quarterback, you look at what we had at quarterback right there. I don't know that I feel all that different about quarterback.
Ah, man, see, I do.
I mean, at the time, though, I mean, thinking back.
Especially when you're combining
the
fit to the offense. Especially when you're combining the fit to the offense.
If you combine that, yeah.
I mean, Justin Worley is a 3-star quarterback.
National Gatorade Player of the Year, right?
Yeah, but he was a 3-star prospect.
At the time, weren't we kidding ourselves, though, that we were hopeful about Peterman?
Mr. Football in South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, maybe you thought Peterman would have been fine. Maybe.
I got like Garantano.
Maybe you thought that Riley Ferguson or Dobbs would have came in, you know, as freshmen and done something, maybe. But I mean, like, returning.
I just haven't
Peterman
seen.
Peterman had never played. Dobbs and Ferguson were freshmen. And Worley had done pretty much nothing to that point. At least we've seen Keller Crist win some games at Stanford. We know that he knows how to lead a football team. We've seen him under center. And with Garantano, we've seen flashes with Garantano. Now, granted, like he was a disappointment last year, but I still feel better about both those guys than I would have about the quarterback situation in 2013.
Who's our kicker?
Who is our kicker?
I don't know, but I think
Golden Toe Joe from Farragut is going to be the punter, I believe, or he's one of the two options at Farragut.
I think I feel better about whoever we've got now than these guys. Laszlo
and,
Tozer. Oh, these
are,
yeah, Samaglia. Those are the guys we have now. I mean, who was our kicker back then?
Pilardi.
Yeah, I'd rather have Pilardi.
Pilardi is pretty good at senior.
Okay, I'd rather have Pilardi there. O-line. Would you take that 2013 O-line as a whole?
Yeah, no, I would.
I think I would, too, although I'd rather have Trey Smith. He's the best player.
Yeah. I'm okay with – I mean, I feel confident about what you're going to have at center with Kennedy. But, like, yeah, the other guys are question marks. Like, they're all decently, you know, rated prospects. It just depends on if they're going to be able to coach them. But, sure, I'm not – you know, if you give me
– Linebacker, I think I'd rather have A.J. Johnson and Kurt Majette. Now, if you look through the whole depth, maybe you take this year's guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Assuming Peterson gets on campus – Thule. I mean, yeah, maybe you lean slightly, but I don't know. Like Brent Brewer, like I said, love the guy, but
counting Kongbo as a linebacker or a D end.
However you want
to. And defensive backs, you had freshman Cam Sutton again, sure, but you know, we were talking returning guys.
I think I'm taking the 2013 DBs.
Absolutely not.
Brian Randolph, Cam Sutton.
Oh.
I mean, what do you? I mean, we got Nigel Warrior now.
I mean, I feel better about.
I like Buchanan.
I mean, is a healthy Todd Kelly not the same as Brian Randolph?
Yes.
I think Brian Randolph is a pretty good player.
I mean, I think Todd Kelly's a solid player, but I'm saying, like, is that not a wash?
Well, maybe it's a toss-up. But are you not seeing what I'm seeing when you really break down the rosters? I don't think this year's roster is that much better. I don't know why that is a hot take.
I'm not treating it as a hot take, but I do think the quarterback situation's better, much better. I'll say much better. I do think the wide receiver situation and tight end situation much better. What are you looking at that you think the 2013's got a big advantage?
Well, quarterback was mismanaged. That was the biggest problem
good.
In 2013.
And Worley wasn't good either. Like,
well, I know, but
okay
when you look who's behind him
and
what they went on to do, you know, Peterman and Ferguson transfer.
Yeah.
I guess Ferguson wasn't there yet.
They were freshmen. Yeah. Like, Peterson and Dobbs were freshmen. Or, excuse me, Dobbs and Ferguson were freshmen. And Peterman was, you know, a guy that –
redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Well, you take those four guys. I mean, forget Worley. The guys behind Worley. You'd take Peterman, Dobbs, and Ferguson based on how their careers panned out, wouldn't you?
Well, even when Ferguson was here, there were reports all over that were like.
Even when Ferguson was here.
Cut
your mic on, Vinley.
Even when Ferguson was here, the reports all over that were like, he's clearly the best fit for this team to, like, be the quarterback.
Well, yeah.
He's mobile.
Well, that's fine, but, like, you got that, like, you didn't want a freshman stud to get hurt. So, like. Was it mismanaged in terms of red shirts and, like, when you played Peterman and, you know, what you did in 2014 when you brought Worley back in as a starter? Yes, hell yes. But, like, I don't think you should have started a freshman Dobbs or a freshman Ferguson or Peterman at that time.
Point is, Dooley brought those guys in, right?
I mean,
No, Butch brought
Butch
Dobbs.
Got Ferguson and Dobbs, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Well, either way, I think the quarterbacks you had on that roster were better than the ones you've got now.
I mean, the way you saw their careers play out, sure. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe not at the time for, you know.
Yeah, like Dobbs was great. Ferguson was good. Peterman's in the NFL. Like, yeah, there's no maybe to it, but I'm talking about at the time.
Okay, if you say at the time, I still think it's comparable.
Look, we love Justin Worley. The kid's tough. He wasn't good.
I still think it's comparable. I mean, I haven't seen our quarterbacks now do anything.
Oh, mercy. I mean, look, maybe people feel the same way you do. I don't know. But like I'm saying, I think we're really infatuated with Justin Worley because the kid got a raw deal and he was really tough and took a beating. But
I'm not infatuated with Justin Worley.
I never thought he was a good quarterback.
I am not infatuated with Justin Worley.
If you don't think we're going to get, if you don't think we're going to get better quarterback play than that, like how bad do you think this season's going to go? Because at sometimes you've been 8-4, 9-3.
I've never said 9-3.
At some points you've been 8-4. Like, if you don't think they're going to get better quarterback play than what Worley gave them, like what?
Maybe they will. I'm an optimist. I just haven't seen it yet. I hope to God we get better quarterback play than what we saw in 2013.
Fair enough. I mean, this whole, you know.
I'm not trying to be a downer.
I keep thinking that there is more talent. I do think you're going to see big bodies. I do think you're going to see speed. Whereas, you know, obviously, the last time you had a first-year coach, you had Trey Burton outrunning your secondary all night. I don't think you're going to be that. I guess that was inept. Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be at Florida. It would be the year before where they were outrunning your secondary, but still, point remains.
2012, yeah.
Point remains. Yeah. Pop on that 2013 Auburn game, and you'll see the difference in speed. Like, do you not think we're going to have like SEC talent this year? Because I don't think we had SEC talent in 2013. Like, that's really how simple I can boil it down to is, like, because if you think those rosters are comparable, then you sound like you're siding with the projection that Tennessee's going to finish sixth in the East.
I know that when Jeremy Pruitt got here, he said our guys are slow, they're weak, they don't look like SEC guys. And based off what I saw last year, I think that's probably the case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what one offseason can do in terms of getting those guys to be SEC-level players. We'll see if that's a 5-7 team or if that's an 8-4 team. But I do think, yeah, I do think – I've said it before, I think we had a whole bunch of losers. That's not a knock to the kids on the team.
We're not calling you individually losers, but together –
but as football players, you're losers.
Together as football players, you were losers. You lost.
And Jeremy Pruitt knows that. And
sure.
He's trying to recruit guys who look like Alabama players.
Well, I am giving some benefit of the doubt to the grad transfer model. And, you know, the couple of JUCO guys you got. Like, I am looking at those as being, you know, plug-and-play type of players who are going to help upgrade this roster. Whereas, you know, if you look, you know, again, comparing to the last time a first-year coach was here, didn't really have any JUCO guys jumping out to you.
No. I'm just not sure what it'll do for us here in year one.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, the media agrees. The media has Tennessee at sixth. They got Georgia 1, South Carolina 2. Does that surprise you, or is that where you would go to with South Carolina at 2?
I think I might go Florida, too. I would have originally gone South Carolina, too, but all this hype I've been hearing about Florida lately.
It would have gotten to you?
Yeah, with the 19 starters coming back and the upgrade in coach with Dan Mullen. And I might go Florida, too.
Florida 3, Missouri 4, Kentucky 5, Tennessee 6, Vanderbilt 7.
I would have had us at 5 ahead of Kentucky. I think we can battle for fourth if Jeremy Pruitt's a competent coach, basically. If he's a good coach, we'll battle for fourth in the SEC East. Year one.
What the hell just happened to us the last 25 minutes? I don't like who we became there for that last 25 minutes.
What do you mean?
Arguing about depth charts, comparing teams. I don't like what we became.
It's okay to talk a little Tennessee football now and then.
All this is so unknown, though, like you said. Like, I do think you were right in saying, like, you don't know necessarily what you're going to get.
Yeah, like, I could see that 8-4, but I could see that 5-7, too.
I just don't like judging this season based off of last season, I guess is my bigger point. Like, do we think that the damage, I guess boiling it down to one question is, do you think the damage from 2017 wiped away the 8-4s from, you know, 2015 and 2016? Was the damage last year so bad? Was it because you just weren't good enough, or was it because you had incompetent coaches Larry Scott's calling plays. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And you have turmoil in the locker room.
Well, you're certainly incompetent. But I also think your talent wasn't as good either.
I mean, as we went through that, though, like we saw three games that, you know, you lost on basically the last minute and a half of the game.
Yeah, yeah. But you still.
And that was with the season from hell, with incompetent coaches and with, you know, a locker room in turmoil. You did that on talent. I guess that's what I'm looking at.
Compared to the aforementioned seasons, though, no Derek Barnett, no Alvin Kamara.
Sure.
No Dobbs.
Sure.
I mean, that is a big gap, a talent disparity. Now, are there certain guys on that roster who can step up?
I just think if we were doing like a draft, and maybe it's pointless, you know, in its entirety to compare this roster to 20, but if we do a draft of like college players Sutton turned into, but I'm saying like heading into the season, you know, knowing what you can take them as freshman prospects if you want. I'd say we get down to five or six before we take our first. Maybe you take Juwan James. So maybe excluding Juwan James, you're going five or six players from this team.
More so looking at this team, though, and not that 2013 comparison, I think what I'm seeing here is that our two best players are a DB and an offensive tackle. And I think that might be what's more alarming to me.
See, I disagree. I think you could throw some wide receivers in there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean.
I think we're all looking for JJ Peterson to make some big impact in year one. I don't know.
Freshman.
Yeah. But I'm saying if we're taking him for next year, I think he'll be able to come in and make plays.
If you look at your four best players, you got two receivers, a DB, and a lineman, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'd just feel more comfortable.
Some people would probably say Ty Chandler is probably hovering around there as well.
If we were better at quarterback or if I knew what we had at quarterback, I'd probably be more optimistic about it.
All right, we're way overdue for a break. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.